My name is Steele Crosswhite, and if you guys are new tonight, we are excited that you are here. If this is your first time, we've been going through the books of Peter. We have just finished up 1 Peter, and Ryan talked to us last week on 2 Peter chapter 1. Tonight, I'm going to pick it up with 2 Peter chapter 2, and I need to be honest with you, it's not a fun chapter. If you guys have read it, then you know what I'm talking about. Tonight's not going to be funny. Tonight's not going to be humorous. Tonight, I'm going to read what I think is probably one of the heaviest things I've ever had to teach on before. And it is not something that is all smiles. In fact, this week, you could ask anybody who's close to me, I've been sick to my stomach. I'm sick to my stomach right now. Actually, I'm going to pray here in a second. But I'm sick about it because of the weight of the words of Peter. They are so heavy. If you guys have read 2 Peter chapter 2, it's one of those sections in the Bible that you want to rip out. It's one of the areas in the Bible that I wish I could just take a knife and rip it out because the words and the language is very, very forceful. Tonight, what I'm going to do, usually at the next level, what we do is we break down, pretty much when we do books of the Bible, we break it down verse by verse, okay? Tonight, I'm not going to do that. Tonight, really, what was like a weight of stone on me in the last week or so when I was studying this was that I felt like God was telling me to wake up. I really felt like he was saying to me, Steele, open your eyes. The things that Peter is talking about in this chapter, they are happening right now. And if you're anything like me, whenever I read this chapter before, I just kind of blazed as fast as I could just to get through it. And all I want to do tonight is open our eyes at the Rock Church to become more aware of what is happening around us. Now, maybe some of you guys are a little bit more savvy, are a little bit more aware of your culture, a little bit more aware of the different truths out there. This came like a punch in the face to me this week. And so I want to share with you just the things that I've learned, okay? I want to make this disclaimer because I don't want to get anybody pissed at me. I am not trying to in any way in the next few minutes bash other religions, okay, or the people in those religions. If you happen to be a part of one of these religions that I'm talking about tonight, I am not personally attacking you. I am not trying to come across on some sort of political agenda and raise my flag and tell you that we as the Rock Church should go picket other people. That's not what I'm saying. I want, however, to be used by the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the truth and to sober us up. Maybe you're already sober enough. For me, like I said, it was a kick in the gut. So why don't I go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into this very, very unfun chapter. God, thank you that you are the beautiful one. Thank you that you are an awesome God. Thank you that that is truth. Thank you that that is real. Thank you that you have handpicked each one of us to be here tonight to speak individually to us. I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me. I ask, God, that I would communicate clearly. I ask, Lord, that you would calm my nerves and that you would use me as your vessel for your beautiful truth. I love this church, God. I love you. And I love your truth. And I pray, Lord, that you would open our eyes. I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So if you have your Bible, open it up here to 2 Peter chapter 2. Before I read that, I want to read to you. I typed in the Bible or in the internet on BibleGateway.com. The word truth about the Bible, okay? And without even refining my search, I just typed it in, and 269 times is how many times the word truth appears in the Bible without even refining my search, okay? I want to read just the few that I read, Okay, just a few. Right off the homepage, I just typed in Bible Gateway Truth, and these are the first few hits that came up. Listen, Psalm 25:5. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. The next Psalm, 26, verse 3. For your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. Psalm 31:5. Into your hands I commit my spirit. Redeem me, O Lord, the God of truth. Psalm 40, verse 10. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your love and your truth from the great assembly. Psalm 40, verse 11. Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth, always protect me. Proverbs 12, 22. One of the only things that we read about that God hates. The Lord hates lying lips, but he delights in men who are truthful. Proverbs 23, 23. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Get wisdom, discipline, and understanding. Buy the truth and do not sell it. John 14, 6. You guys know this. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. God defines himself as the God of truth. John 8:32. Jesus says, the truth will set you free. I'm trying to paint a picture here before I read 2 Peter chapter 2 of the passion that God has for the truth. He is in everything that he does truthful, and he detests lying lips. He is passionate about the truth. He defines himself as the truth. He defines himself as the God of truth, and he says, this truth will set you free. God is adamant about his truth. Now, let's read 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter says, he ends chapter 1 by saying this in verse 21, as Ryan taught. He says, for prophecy, and this is in chapter 1, 21, verse 21. For prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Okay. Chapter 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth in disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with their stories they've made up. Their condemnation has long been hanging over them, and their destruction has not been sleeping. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell, putting them into gloomy dungeons to be held for judgment, if God did not spare the ancient world when he brought the flood on its ungodly people, but he protected Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and seven others, if God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah by burning them to ashes and made them an example of what is going to happen to the ungodly, and if he rescued Lot, a righteous man who was distressed by the filthy lives of lawless men, for that righteous man, Lot, living among them day after day, was tormented in his righteous soul by the lawless deeds he saw and he heard. If this is so, then the Lord knows how to rescue godly men from trials and to hold the unrighteous for the day of judgment while continuing their punishment. Verse 10, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. One thing that I should tell you is that this entire chapter is dedicated to those false teachers that Peter's talking about. That's how he starts it. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. And so this absolutely painful chapter is about that. Verse 10, he says, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desires of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these false teachers, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, though they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in the matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for harm that they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you with eyes full of adultery. They never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed, an accursed brood. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. You could find this story in the book of Numbers. It's a guy that was hired to go and curse Israelites. And God said, do not go, but this man's greed drove him on. So he says, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. You guys should read that in some Numbers. It's freaking awesome. Verse 17. Peter continues about false teachers. These men are springs without water, mists driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them, for they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. Verse 19, they promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever he has that has mastered him. It's talking about these men are controlled by the sinful desires, by their sinful nature. They promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves. Verse 20, if they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and they are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been far better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, than to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them, the proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. Oh my. This chapter makes me sick. Because we can't get away from it. Because it's there. I can't cut it out of my Bible. It's in my Bible. The heaviness, the darkest blackness is reserved. This last verse, I need to make this one disclaimer. When it says that they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning, it's not talking that you can lose your salvation, okay? It's not. It's talking about those men and women that know the Holy Spirit, that know Jesus Christ, and willfully turn away from God, knowing that they are rejecting His truth, and they are tortured inside. I know men and women like this. I could break this down verse by verse. I could tell you of the old stories of Sodom and Gomorrah. I could tell you about Noah. I could tell you about Balaam. But what Peter is talking about are the men and the women that will rise up among us and slowly, deceitfully, willfully chip away at truth. And guys, it's happening. It's happening. It's happening when we walk out these doors. It's happening to our families. It's happening to our friends. It's happening to our neighbors. And Peter says, they are falling. Maybe some of you even here tonight have some of the, maybe if you've been deceived just a little bit. Maybe some of you are going to fall under these false teachers. And my prayer is that you wouldn't. But it's very, very slick, and it's really, really easy to do. And let me tell you how. Satan is never more powerful than when he has a Bible in his hand. I'll say it again. Satan is never more powerful against the Christian than when he has a Bible in his hand. Because all he has to do is twist the truth a little. Of course he's not going to attack the fact that Jesus Christ walked the earth. That's way too big. That's preposterous. We know that. But he could say, Jesus walked on the earth and he loved people, but he wasn't really God. Truth. I am not in any way whatsoever going to try to bash particular people, but I need to tell you that I spent only 1 hour on the internet. Just 1 hour on the internet. And I typed in just random things of things that I see in the paper, things that I see on the street corners, and I just typed it in and I went to their homepages. Again, I'm not one of these dudes that's real political. I could really give a rat's. Maybe that's just me. I love Jesus. I typed in liberal Christianity. I just want to read you from their homepage of theology. I want you to keep in mind who Peter's talking to, false teachers that are among us. Okay. It says this off their homepage. You can go there. Liberal Christian theology. Liberal Christians therefore welcome a variety of approaches to understanding God, and they are open to new ways of talking about the divine. It goes on to say, conservative Christians like at the rock here. Okay. You'll get what I'm saying. Conservative Christians are often content to answer religious questions by appealing to the absolute authority of Scripture. Liberal Christians, on the other hand, hold on, let me just tell you this. You guys need to be awake to hear this tonight, okay? I just need you to hang on every word. I'm going to read to you so much, but you need to be awake. Hang with me for 30 minutes, okay? Conservative Christians are often content to answer religious questions by appealing to the absolute authority of the Scripture. Liberal Christians, on the other hand, find such an approach to be flawed. Many see the Bible as a witness to revelation or generally inspired rather than completely inspired in all of its parts. Just as, listen how it's worded, okay? Just as Jesus was fully human and wholly divine. Okay, that's a truth. Jesus Christ is fully human and he's fully God. Just as Jesus was fully human and wholly divine, so one must also see the Bible as a product of both human and divine influences. Indeed, liberal Christians are quick to point out that the fallenness and imperfection of its human authors gives the Bible an imperfect quality and authority. Traditional Christian doctrines, listen, such as the virgin birth, the atonement, the Trinity, the deity of Christ, and the resurrection are sometimes given new interpretations. And yet, again, I'm not trying to bash anybody, but Jesus Christ's name is in the same paragraph. But the doctrines such as the virgin birth, which by the way means that Jesus was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, therefore is sinless because sin entered the world through Adam. So they don't believe in the virgin birth, which means that Jesus Christ was full of sin. They don't believe in the atonement, which is a religious word of saying this: Christ died for your sins, you're covered. They don't believe in the Trinity, the deity of Christ, meaning he's not God, or the resurrection. If Christ didn't raise from the dead, then we are damned beyond all people. They're sometimes given new interpretations. Imminent and personal. Nobody would debate me about this. If you were a liberal Christian sitting here, you'd say, I agree. It's from your homepage. Okay? Liberal Christians. Imminent and personal images of God in Scripture are attractive to liberals. For some, this takes on the form of belief in pantheism, meaning God is in everything. The concept of personal salvation, again, stay awake. The concept of personal salvation is not typically stressed by liberal Christians. Accordingly, traditions of heaven, hell, and the end times are not given much weight in their theologies. When salvation is discussed, liberals are more apt to stress the worldly aspects and appeal to a universalist interpretation of Scripture when confronted with questions of eternal punishment and rewards. So when the Bible talks about heaven or hell in the end times, they don't talk about it. Again, I'm just going to read to you guys tonight, because here's what Peter says. But there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. God's character, same webpage, is one of pure benevolence that is without standards, perfectly placed. It's one of pure benevolence without standards. We agree. All men are his children, and sin separates no one from his love. Okay. In other words, we're all bound for heaven no matter what. Due to the divine spark in every man, all men are good at heart and need nothing more than encouragement to allow their natural goodness to express itself. I'm so screwed up. Last thing you want to do is see me express myself. And you too, by the way. You all suck too in your divine nature. Jesus Christ is man's Savior only in the sense that he is man's perfect teacher and example. He was not divine. He was not born of a virgin. He did not work miracles, and he did not rise from the dead. God. And they put the name in there, and it just, it's happening, okay? He didn't work miracles. He didn't rise from the dead. He wasn't born of a virgin. Rather than think about Jesus' crucifixion as an event that changes God's relationship to us by atoning for sin, it is viewed as an event that helps us see Jesus' love and commitment towards us that melts our heart and changes us into loving people. Okay. Jesus Christ didn't atone. What it's saying is that Jesus didn't pay for it, guys. But yet he died to show us an example of love. If you know the Bible, Jesus begged his Father not to go to that cross. He had one reason. You. The election of Jeffords Scory. This is a person that was just elected on the board of traditional or official liberal Christianity. Jeffords Scory, a theological liberal who prayed to a female Jesus at last summer's bishop's convention, together with the bishop's vote not to endorse the bedrock Christian proposition that Jesus is Lord. Okay. Many will follow their shameful ways and will bring the way of truth in disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. I typed in the word Unitarian. I'm not trying to bash people. I'm just trying to defend the truth because it's in our midst. Okay? I hope you know my heart. Unitarianism is a doctrinal system characterized chiefly by a belief in the unipersonality of God and the normal humanity of Jesus. Most Unitarians I've spoken with reject the divinity of Jesus, but do recognize him as a great moral teacher. By the way, Jesus would be a liar if he was a great moral teacher because he claimed to be God. Universalism is the theological doctrine that all souls will ultimately be saved and that there are no torments of hell. The Universalist also denied the miraculous element in Scripture and rejected such important doctrines as the total depravity of men and the Trinity. Most Unitarian Universalists will refer to Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus the Christ. This person answers a question about the difference between traditional Christianity and Unitarianism. It says, it is my understanding of traditional and classic Christian churches, a church like the Rock, historical, evangelical, biblical Christianity. It is my understanding of this, that their adherents, or you and I, believe in accepting Jesus as their Savior for salvation. She says, William Ellery Channing, a famous Unitarian Universalist, in my opinion, best defined the Universalist approach as one of universal salvation. Channing wrote that we members are part of the universal church, and no man can be excommunicated from it but by himself, by the death of goodness in his own breast. In other words, it's a way of saying what I believe regarding salvation is that I don't believe I have to accept any person as my Savior. Okay. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. We're talking about Jesus. This one might hit a little close to home. I need to tell you this. I'm very, very good friends with many, many Mormons. I love Mormons. I've made records with Mormons. I've sung on Mormon records. I love them. They're our neighbors. And we, if you are Mormon or have come from a background of LDS faith, or you are welcome here. If you're Unitarian, if you're liberal Christian, you are all welcome here. We love you. We're going to love you just the same. But we love the truth more. Okay? Just slight differences. There's a lot of similarities. We know that. But Satan is never more powerful than when he has a Bible in his hand. And he only needs to one truth. And then everything falls. Just in that concept of God, you can find this in Christian apologetics and research ministry. I spent 1 hour on the internet, guys. It's called The Difference Between Mormonism and Christianity. Some of this you guys know. Christian, typical evangelical, biblical Christian view of God. God has always been God. We know that. I am the Alpha and I am the Omega. I am the first and I am the last. There has never been one before me. There will never be another after me. Okay? That's what we believe as biblical evangelical Christians. The Mormon faith says God himself was once as we are now. And he is an exalted man and sits enthroned in yonder heavens. We have imagined that God was God from all eternity. I will refute that idea and take away the veil so that you may see. This is in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith on page 345. Mormons believe that Christ was a man and he did good and he became a God. Okay. The Bible says that God was God. Done. We believe Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. Again, this is important for this reason. It says in the Bible in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus Christ was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Mary was a virgin. There is no seed of sin through Adam in Jesus, because if that were the case, Jesus couldn't be in the atonement for our sins, because a sinner can't die in place of a sinner, which means we're all damned. So the virgin birth is important because it makes Jesus God. It makes him sinless. The birth of the Savior, so that's what we believe. The LDS faith says the birth of the Savior was as natural as are the births of our children. It was the result of natural action. He partook of the flesh and blood, was begotten of his Father as we were of our fathers. In other words, Jesus Christ was conceived by a normal human man, which again would mean that he is a sinner, which again would mean he did not pay for our sins. In Jesus, historical, evangelical, biblical Christian faith believes this. Jesus is the eternal Son. He is the second person of the Trinity. He is God in the flesh and man and the creator of all things. The LDS faith believes that Jesus is the literal spirit of Lucifer, a creation. Salvation. Just two more points. Couple more points. Salvation. We believe that the forgiveness of sins is not by works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9. You can check out the book of Galatians. As these sins are the result of... This is what the LDS faith believes. As these sins are the result of individual acts, it is just that forgiveness for them should be conditioned on individual compliance with prescribed requirements. Obedience to the laws and the ordinances of the gospel. Finally, the Bible, just in terms of the Bible, we believe that it is the inerrant, in other words, it is without flaw, word of God. The Bible is pure from cover to cover. The LDS faith believes the Bible to be the word of God as far as it is translated correctly. Do you guys understand? In verse 19 it says, they promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. In verse 17 it says, these men are springs without water. They are mists driven by a storm. They have just enough truth, but they scrape at the foundation of our very faith. And if that happens, it's all lost. It scares me to death. It has been a punch in the gut for me this week. And then finally, just one more thing here. And again, I just hope you know my heart. I don't want us to pick at other religions. I don't want us to get pissed at them. I don't want any of that stuff. I want us to love them with the truth, baby. Because they're promised freedom, but they're slaves. When Jesus said, the truth will set you free, the truth will set you free. Catholicism. I don't doubt that some of these people have a real faith in Christ, either way, by the way. I'm just talking about how subtle it is and how prevalent. I'm not saying if you're a Mormon that you're necessarily, that you don't know Jesus Christ is your Savior. But what they're teaching you has some lies in it. Catholicism, in their canon, it says, if anyone says that justifying faith, okay, that's what we believe, that Christ justified our sins, that justifying faith is nothing else than confidence in divine mercy. That's what we believe. God, you had mercy on me. Which remits sins for Christ's sakes. Or that it is the confidence alone that justifies us. Let him be anathema. Anathema is a person that is cursed, loathed, detested, or damned. And in the canon, it is saying here that if you believe in just justifying faith, in the confidence of God's mercy alone, you're damned. Canon 24, it says, if anyone says that righteousness received... Okay, that's what we believe. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says that God made Jesus, who had no sin, to become sin for us so that you and I can be the righteousness of God. Okay, that's what the Bible says. This says, if anyone says that righteousness received is not preserved and also not increased before God through good works, but that those works are merely the fruits and signs of justification obtained, but not the cause of the increase, let them be cursed, damned, loathed, or detested. It's saying that if you don't think that you can hold on to your righteousness and increase your righteousness by good works, you are damned. Canon 30. If anyone says that after the reception of grace, of justification, of Jesus, the guilt is so remitted and the debt of eternal punishment is so blotted out to every repentant sinner that no debt of temporal punishment remains to be discharged either in this world or in purgatory before the gates of heaven can be opened, let him be anathema. What that is saying is that if you think that you cannot, that there's not punishment in purgatory or punishment for our sin again after Christ, then we should be loathed, cursed, damned, and detested. Guys, we have the truth, okay? Jesus said the truth will set you free. And right now, we live in a culture that wages war against all of it. And they won't step on the name of Jesus. God forbid they do that. That's too big. But they'll take away the atonement. Satan will attack the divinity of God, the divinity of Christ. Most people don't even understand what the big deal is about the virgin birth, so who cares anyway? We need to wake up. I need to wake up. Now our reaction to this isn't to go out and be PO'd at everybody and start picketing churches and go, we're the best church in town. But we must fight for the truth. We have to fight for the truth, because if we don't... Did you read 2 Peter chapter 2? Did you hear what's happening? We have to love the truth. That doesn't mean we hate our brothers and sisters that don't fully get it. But we need to love the truth so much that we dare correct. We need to love the Lord more than the culture. Hell's not a popular subject. Nobody wants to be told they're going to go to hell. Nobody. But it's real. And I would rather make everybody pissed at me in this life and know that I've done everything for the Lord to tell the truth so that they might be saved than make everybody friends with me. Because God says you're going to spend eternity with me, and we need to save some. And he has asked me and you to be his hands and his feet, to stand up for the truth. And we have to be awake. And I am sorry, and I ask for all of your forgiveness that I haven't taken this more seriously in my own life. I'm sometimes so afraid of making people mad at me that I don't want to ruffle the feathers. Well, guess what? A time is coming where people are going to like me even less. Not because I'm going to be mad at them, but because I will time and time again stand in the gap by the power of the Holy Spirit for the truth. If you are wondering what this church believes, we believe in the Bible, cover to cover. We believe that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. Entirely man, entirely God, sympathizes with our weakness, but was without sin. And Jesus took your sin and my sin, and he died willingly on the cross for our sins. Why is that important? Because God is holy. If God wasn't holy, he wouldn't have to punish sin. But because he is holy, he has to punish sin. He's got to be just. And he couldn't stand the idea of punishing us. So he became a man and he punished himself. And that truth set you free. And if you think that other people are living in freedom, it's a lie. I want all of you tonight, before you leave, to grab this. I'm going to leave it on the stage on this corner. It's the Rock Statement of Faith. I want you to know what we believe in. I want you to be aware of what we believe about God, salvation, the Holy Spirit, the assurance of salvation. I want you to be aware. I want you to know just a little, just enough. Because Satan only needs to tweak one or two things, and there goes your truth. God has given us the most important thing in the world, and that is his Bible. And if we take pieces out of it, if we say, yeah, you know, I don't believe in the atonement, I don't believe in the deity, then you might as well just throw that down too. We got to know the truth. I want to show you a clip. Scrib, can we show that? And then I'm going to come up and I'm going to pray. This is from ER, that story, that book, whatever, the freaking Fraggin' TV show, ER. Okay. And this is from a TV, okay. I want you to see why the truth is important. It's played off YouTube, you know, so it's not a big presentation. We're going to be watching it off that. But this changed me, okay? I think God knew I was going to be teaching this talk, so let's watch that.
This time, it took him 90 seconds to die. 7 months later, a police officer came forward. The boy was framed for the murder. Hmm? He didn't do it.
You couldn't have known that.
God tried to stop me from killing an innocent man, and I ignored the sign. How can I even hope for forgiveness?
I think sometimes it's easier to feel guilty than forgiven.
Which means what?
That maybe your guilt over these deaths has become your reason for living. And maybe you need a new reason to go on.
I don't want to go on. Can't you see? I'm old. I have cancer. I've had enough. The only thing that is holding me back is that I am afraid. I'm afraid of what comes next.
And what do you think that is?
Oh, you tell me. Is atonement even possible? What does God want from me?
I think it's up to each one of us to interpret what God wants.
So people can do anything? They can rape, they can murder, they can steal all in the name of God and it's okay?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Well, what are you saying? Because all I'm hearing is some new age, God is love, one size fits all crap.
Hey, Dr. Truman.
No, I don't have time for this now.
Greg, it's okay. I understand.
No, you don't understand. You don't understand. How could you possibly say that? Now, you listen to me. I want a real chaplain who believes in a real God and a real hell.
I hear that you're frustrated, but you need to ask yourself.
No, I don't need to ask myself. I need answers. And all your questions and your uncertainty are only making things worse.
I know you're upset.
God, I need someone who will look me in the eye and tell me how to find forgiveness because I am running out of time.
I'm trying to help.
Well, don't! Just get out! Get out! Get out!
We have that guy's answer. It may not be popular during his lifetime, but right there it matters. Okay? Right there the truth matters. One day, somebody's going to come up to you and say, how do you know for sure. You can know for sure. We've got that answer. Don't let it slip out of your hands. It is the most horrible thing you can do to a person. If you let go of truth, you let go of divine compassion. Okay. I know tonight was kind of heavy. I'm so sorry. But I think it was good. And I love you guys. And I want us to be on the level. Okay. So let's pray. If you're new tonight, we're glad you're here. It's not always like this. God, thank you for tonight. Lord, thank you so much for your truth. Oh, God, I don't know where I'd be if you didn't save a sinner like me. I don't know where I'd be if I didn't know I was completely forgiven. Lord, I don't fully understand your passion against those people that use your name and make it untruthful. I don't understand the full weight of 2 Peter chapter 2, but I do understand that you love truth. I do understand that you ask us to guard truth, never sell it. I understand, God, that you told us that you are the truth and the truth will set us free. I understand, God, that in Psalm it says that your truth protects us. And I understand, God, that you want us to value that because it's the most compassionate thing we can give to another person. It may temporarily make them mad, Father, but you know it will save their soul. Help us, God, to be aware of the slow ebbing away of truth in our midst. Help us, Lord, not to be mad at a liberal Christian or a Mormon or a Catholic or a Unitarian or a Buddhist or whatever. Help us to love them so much we give them the answer. Protect us, God. It is terrifying and you know it. You know it. Protect us, Lord, because it's hard to stand up for the truth when the world thinks it's silly. When we go to colleges and they tell us that it's a myth. When we see churches on every corner with your name in it, and yet the potency of what you've done and who you are is stripped away. It's hard to talk to people about hell. God, give us your grace. Give us your absolute power to do it. We need you, God. This church, I pray you'd protect this church. I pray, God, you'd protect these pastors. I pray, God, that you would help Josh and help me and help Bill and help Mac to teach the truth, God. And I pray you'd make your men and your women so smart in the truth, God. Please, I just pray that you would help us, God. We need it so bad. I just love you, God. I love you that you loved us enough that you took our sins. Father, I just want to pray all night. I really do. But I thank you for this group. I thank you, Lord, that you've handpicked each one of us for being here tonight. I pray, God, that you would please bless our break-off groups. Help us, Lord, to not be afraid to even laugh tonight a little bit. I feel like it's just a spirit of just real somberness here, God. I just pray that we get to know each other. I pray, Lord, that we would learn from you tonight, God, in our groups. We love you. We say these things in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.